Thank you, Risha. Have your Bibles this morning. And we're going to use our Bibles this morning a little bit. I'm going to ask you to turn around some in your scriptures, but I want to just take just a note today. Our high school soccer team played their first game this week, and they gave me about a heart attack. They were down 1-0 going into the late second half. And then all of a sudden, they woke up and won about 7-1, I think it was. But it's not good for older people for y'all to do that, okay? So you need to play a little better in the first half. It's good also to have Alex and the Williams here today. Good, raise your hand out there. Good to have them. This is Rob and Kathy Williams' son and daughter-in-law. Glad to have them today. And if you're a guest today, we appreciate you coming today. May the Lord bless you. Take just a minute. I have a question for you this morning. It's a scriptural one. Are you hindering or helping people to heaven? Are you hindering or helping people to heaven? If you have your Bible, turn me, if you would, to Luke chapter 11. We're going to see that word hindering. I want to go over it with you so you and I can sit down and take a look at it and maybe apply it to your own life a little bit. Notice, if you would. Now, I'm not picking on lawyers this morning. I know we have some here. I'm just reading the scripture, so please don't take it personal. Notice, if you would, verse 52. This is Luke 11:52. Woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. They have taken away the key to heaven. And notice what it says. And ye entered not in yourselves, so they're not saved. And them that were entering in, ye hinder. Now, the word to hinder, the Greek word here is really to block or to try to hold back, to restrain. So you don't have to restrain people from getting to heaven to keep them out of heaven. But I noticed, I got to sit down thinking, what are some of the hindrances to heaven? Well, I think one of them is this. One of the biggest ones is, they don't realize what heaven is like. Now, none of us have ever been to heaven. But through the eyes of Scripture, we can see a lot about heaven. And I just want to remind you that the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. So, whatever you and I could imagine about heaven, we're way low in our thinking. Did you know the Bible says that heaven is approximately 1,320 miles this direction, and this direction? It's 3D. Now, we cannot imagine and get our minds wrapped around a city that's 3D, but the Bible says in Revelation 21, there's a new Jerusalem, there's a new city, a new heaven, and a new earth. The Lord's going to prepare for all those that love him, all those that know him as Savior. And that city is so large. Well, let me tell you how large it is. If you were to take New York, 20-something million people, Tokyo, 20-something million people, São Paulo, Brazil, 20-something million people, you would take up about 1,000 square miles. 1,320 miles this way and 1,320 miles this way. 1,320 is 1.7 million square miles. Heaven is huge. It's coming to this world. The Lord's going to make it. It comes out of heaven like New Jerusalem dropping out of heaven. The Lord has it set for us. He says there is no curse there. So you're not going to do wrong by nature. How many of you like that? I just like to do right naturally. That'd be a wonderful thing. Well, he's going to take away the curse. Not only that, he's got 12 gates of solid pearls, 3 on the east, north, south, and west. And you can enter in and out anytime you would like. Because he's going to take new heavens, new stars, new universe. Everything's new. He's going to take this world and refurb it. 2 Peter chapter 3. He's going to refurb it and make to erase all of the things of man. So He's going to build it brand new without the sinful touch of man. That means, how many of you got a home? How many of you got a home? You won't have one of these days. It's going to be gone. So why do we labor so much for a house that's going to go poof? Or for a car? Poof. Because the Lord is getting preparing something for you and I that we can't even dream about. It is so wonderful. Now, I think most people in the world feel like, well, we're going to be angels, we're going to float around heaven. I don't know how fun that is. Well, the Bible doesn't say we're going to have wings. But the Bible says we're going to be like Christ. Perfect. No more knee issues. We all had a big time yesterday. And we all played soccer. And I got a chance to play a little soccer too. And I fell on the ground a few times. And I said, Lord, just help me get up in the morning. I even had, what did I tell you, Brother Brandon? What did I tell you, Brother Brandon? I said, Brother Brandon, what did I tell you? What did I say? I said, have a sermon ready. In case I can't get up. I don't know what it is. That's what happens when you get old. If in case I get out of bed and I say, oh, I can't go today. I'll never play soccer again on a Saturday. I'm very thankful I got up, had a good time, had my devotions, ready to come, excited about church. Lord, thank you so much. One of these days, I'm going to get a new body and never have to worry about that again. I met a man yesterday, both knees, 30 years old. He said, well, I love to play golf, but I can't play golf anymore. You know what? The Lord's going to fix it. When you step foot inside heaven, you're going to say, oh, Lord, thank you for not letting me miss it. Street of gold. Pearls for gates. Mansions that He's prepared for you. And I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be also. In my Father's house are many mansions. Do you understand? The Lord is preparing for you because now you got to think about how special everybody in this room is if you've trusted Christ. He gave His Son to die for you to get you to heaven. And He's been working on heaven for 2,000 years. If He made this world in 6 days, and rested the seventh, what must heaven be like? It is beyond our wildest imaginations. But it is probably going to be much like the Garden of Eden, only better. It's going to be perfect in every way. That tree won't be there. I don't know if it was an apple tree. Most of the time you picture it as an apple tree that Adam and Eve ate from. I don't know what it was. I think personally it was a watermelon tree. And the Lord cursed the watermelon. Now it's got to be on the ground. I don't know. But I look forward to heaven. The Bible says there's a tree in heaven that every month, so there is time in heaven, but there's no end. Can you imagine that? There are going to be activities in heaven, events that you and I are going to enjoy doing. I think of what do I enjoy doing the most, and heaven is going to be far beyond that. How many of you ever heard of pickleball? How many have ever played pickleball? Okay. Is that fun to you? Okay. Well, you know how long pickleball has been around? Not long. Brand new. My wife and I are walking down this little shopping center over where we are in Leesburg. And as we're walking down, we walked up and there's these windows and it's got pickleball courts. And it's about from here to that wall. And I said, wow, that's a lot of stuff. What is that? That must be coming. And I cracked the door open. And there's people everywhere. Must have been 15 or 20 pickleball courts. They're just going at it in there. I said, wow, that's brand new. The Lord's got some brand new things that you and I can do and enjoy far more than that. So when you think about heaven, don't think about flapping your wings going around in a circle. What's going on for the rest of my life? It's not like that. It is beyond your wildest dreams. There's going to be food in heaven. And you can eat food and not gain weight. Yeah, that's great. There'll be no more weight loss there. You know, gone. He's made a place for you and I that we can enjoy with Him forever. But can I tell you the best part about it? Revelation 21. He said, something's going to happen that nobody's ever done. you're going to be able to see me face to face. Can you imagine seeing the God of heaven, the creator of the universe, face to face? You can speak to him, ask him any question, tell him that you love him. That is why 1 John chapter 2, verse 28 is so important, that we're not ashamed when we see him. He's going to allow you and I, every one of his children, to sit down with him face to face. Remember, he is omniscient, so he's everywhere. I can't wrap my head around it. I can't explain it to you. I can't explain the Trinity. I just know it's true. I see the fruit of his labor, the fruit of his words, when I walk around this beautiful earth in so many ways. And that God said, I'm going to speak to you, Dave Pittman, face to face. Be able to look into his eyes and see somebody that loves you. Somebody that cares for you. He'll be able to look into our eyes and see if we love him. I'm telling you, heaven's going to be wonderful. I wish I could tell you all about how heaven, all the different things of heaven. The Bible says it's got a wall around it that's 216 feet tall, approximately. And the Bible says a cubit. And we think this is a cubit. So if I got Rick's cubit up here, he'd be a little different than mine. And if I got Scott's cubit up here, it'd be a little different than mine. And if I got Andrew's Phillips cubit up here, it'd be a lot different than mine. So we're assuming about 18 inches. And if that's the case, it's 216 feet tall. And it's divided into 12 parts. And all the way around the city for 1,320 miles is a layer of diamonds. A layer of beryl. 12 different colors. Can you imagine what that must look like when the glory of God hits that thing? It's like, wow. And it's all for you and I. Now, why would anybody want to die and go to hell? Where the Bible says there's fire and brimstone and no release. And no Jesus. Why would anybody want to go there when they could go to heaven? Because there are hindrances. Number one, they don't know about heaven. Every one of us can talk about heaven. I'm reading a book. I love to read. This Randy Acorn went through the scripture and just sort of reviewed verses and put them all together in such a way that, wow, it just caused you to think. And it was like, wow, unbelievable. That's a great thought. This is another great thought. And so what I'm trying to say, he doesn't have any more information than we do about heaven other than the scripture. But when he sits down and take a look at it and put it in his words, it was like, I never thought of that. And I never thought of that. And so we, you and I, have to get the word out how wonderful heaven is. I didn't even tell you about family will be there. You'll be able to enjoy them for all eternity. I mean, no more pain. The Bible says he's going to take his finger and wipe away tears from our eyes. No more tears. No more suffering. He's making a place for you and I to be with him, that we can fellowship with him individually. We can look into his face for all eternity. I cannot imagine. And then all the things, hey, why don't you go over and spend some time with Rick? I'd rather spend time with you. I don't like Rick. There's not going to be any of that. Not going to be, I don't like this, I don't like that. Oh, that's gone. We're going to love everything. We've never been in a place like that. They don't know about heaven. All of us need to learn about heaven and say, could I tell you about heaven? How do you know that? Well, let me show you this verse right here. Look here, look here. What a way, a segue to win people to Christ. You don't want to miss heaven. But I think another you'll notice, if you went back to what Brother Andrew read, take your Bible, if you turn, would, to Matthew chapter 7. And we know that most people are not going to heaven. So I want to draw your attention to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. Enter ye at the straight gate. The reason it's straight and it's narrow is because very few people are going there, because there's only one person that has a key, and that's Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's the reason it's narrow. It's because you got to go to Jesus Christ and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for my sin. Would you forgive me my sin? Come into my heart and take me to heaven. When I die, Lord, I have no chance but you. He is the only way into heaven. And folks, I know there's a lot of other religions out there, and there's a lot of people, but Jesus only has one name. It's not like he's got all these. He's not Buddha. It's Jesus Christ. It's not Joseph Smith, it's Jesus Christ. And he said, I am the way. So notice what he says. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way. So what it makes it so broad? They're following the crowd. If you follow the crowd, they're going to lead you to hell. Follow the crowd is the wrong direction. Following what everybody says, well, I think this and I think that. If you sat down in a room with 100 people and said, how are you going to get to heaven? There wouldn't be many of them say, I know the only way. And everybody look at him and say, boy, you're a bigot. Only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, singular article before it. The truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So when you see that cross, you know he's the only way. And you got to go to him personally to receive eternal life. So I notice that most people follow the crowd. If you were to ask, as I've visited people for 50 years, 60 years, I've talked with people, and the number one answer, what's the number one answer? How do you get to heaven? Can anybody tell me what it is? The number one answer, how do you get to heaven? Right here. Good works. Do a good job. There's a balance. Okay, look here. There's this balance. There's a balance here. It's your good works. And right over here is your bad works. And you're trying to put more good works in the bucket than you are bad works over here. So they say, well, I don't do all that much bad. On Wednesday night, we're studying the book of James. For whoso keepeth the whole law, you do everything right, and offend in one point, he's guilty of all. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He's trying to tell you, you can't get into heaven if you got one sin. Who in here doesn't have one sin? Everybody. But his heaven is perfect. So you can't get to heaven until that one sin is taken. Now, I've told you, I've tried to live one day right. I didn't make it until 9 o'clock. I'd already had the wrong thought about this or that or whatever. I didn't do anything bad, but the Bible says that the thought of foolishness is sin. And I had some foolish thoughts, you know. Somebody had built me a building and walked over the other day and saw a door missing out of the building, the new building, the gym. And I said, where's my door? And they says, well, somebody took it out to save money. I said, who did that? I'm the one that signed it. I didn't take it out. And the guy looked around and said, oh, I don't know. Where's my door? I was so frustrated. Thought of foolishness is sin. Lord, could I just wring his neck gently in Christian love, of course? Pittman, wrong thought. The other day I was driving, and I was in another world at the stoplight. How many of you have ever done that? Okay? So at the stoplight, at the other world. All of a sudden, what do you think happened? How did y'all know? And so they go around the honk. And my wife said, after the honk, you better go. Somebody's going to honk at you. They already did. You didn't hear it? I had to go around the honk. It didn't take long in Northern Virginia. I mean, you just pause for a second, and you're going to get honked at. And so, you know, I'm thinking about that. You know, sometimes you just want to say, wrong thought. Can't come to heaven. I'm trying to be a little facetious about thoughts, but literally one thought will keep you out of heaven. And you got to come to Christ and say, Lord, I've had a lot of wrong thoughts, a lot of wrong actions. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? When I was in the first grade, I lied to my mother. I hid my first grade report card because I got a C in writing. And it's only gone downhill from there. And so I didn't want my mom to know about it. And I got the whooping of my life. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I don't want to lie again ever, period. Lord, if I didn't get that taken care of, I'd have to go to hell. I don't think we understand how much Jesus loves you, because he said, I'm going to pay for your debt of sin. All you got to do is ask me to forgive you. And it's gone. But the crowd says, well, you got to do and not do. The only problem is you cannot do perfectly and you can't do perfectly. So you got no chance for heaven. If you have your Bible, turn that if you would to, I want you to see these two verses, Ephesians 2, if you would. Ephesians 2, turn there if you would. I want you to see it. Ephesians 2. I'm going to give you a little bit of time because it's so important. Ephesians 2. And I want you to underline this verse in your Bible. And then if you've got it, Titus chapter 3. I want you to see that verse too. Titus chapter 3. We'll go to these two verses. And I want you to underline them. I want you to see getting to heaven has got nothing to do with what you do, good or bad. It doesn't get you to heaven. Notice if you would, Ephesians chapter 2. Notice if you would in verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. You see, I was saved by his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved. Grace is you don't do anything. It's given to you. For by grace are you saved through faith. You have to exercise your faith in Christ. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's the proof you can't get to heaven. There is no scale in heaven. You're good or you're bad. Notice over Titus chapter 3. Look, if you would, in verse number 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. It is not a scale in heaven. There is not one that the Lord's going to say, well, you did more good than bad. Welcome home. It's going to be, what did you do with Jesus Christ? It's that answer and that alone. And so it's important for you and I to understand you can't follow the crowd. It's not only that, but we're focused on the world and they are and getting ahead. They're focused on getting a better job and getting to school and getting my kids to college and saving money and putting money back in my 401k and trying to get a good job where I've got a 403b and maybe getting better health insurance or a better car or I want to get in a better neighborhood. All these different things. I want to get better. And we think that, you know, if I do that, then everything's going to work out fine until the appointment with death. Then it's too late. As it is appointed unto man, once to die. And after this, the judgment. Hebrews 9:27. The Lord is trying to tell you and I, as the road is narrow, but it's broad to go to hell. Why? Because so many people are in this world trying to get ahead. And they've not thought about what happens when I die. What happens when the appointed time for my life? How many of you in this room realize everybody in here has got an appointment with God? How many of you realize? Everyone here does. I don't know what it is, but there's a calendar in heaven or God's got it marked somewhere that everybody's got an appointment to meet him. And so you got to be ready. And you can be ready today. But I think another reason, hindrance to heaven. If you have your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians and let you see it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Notice if you would, in verse number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse number 3. Are you and I a hindrance, or are we a help for people to get to heaven? Notice if you would. There's the hindrance of the world. There's a hindrance of a lack of knowledge of heaven. There are people that try to talk things down, that try to talk people out of Jesus Christ. There's false doctrine. They get confused. There's confusion. Well, notice if you would, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. But if our gospel, that's the good news, be hid. They don't know what it is. It is hid to them that are lost. They're not going to heaven, and they can't see heaven. Notice, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. They've been blinded. How? Well, there are people that, well, I think you'll get to heaven by good works, bad, you know, you get the weight out and check to see which one you've done more of. Well, you know, that's a false doctrine. Well, I think you gotta, and you fill in the blank. You gotta get baptized. You gotta join a church. You gotta give money. You gotta tithe. You gotta whatever it might be. And all those things are wrong when it comes to getting to heaven. But you'll notice here, look at what he says, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is, what's this? Who is the image of God which should shine unto them? Now let me ask you a question. Who's the image? Who's in the image of God? Who? My wife. Mr. Topper. Mr. Gardner. Everybody in this room that's trusted the man that hung on that cross and died for you, you're supposed to be the image of Christ. People see you, click, they see Jesus. Notice what he says. Look in verse number 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus Christ. We're servants of the Lord. Notice what he says. Keep reading. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. Everybody in this room, Christ has shined his image into your heart. And now you're to shine and shine brightly. So the world says, you've got something I don't have. Notice, if you would, in verse number 6, to give the light of the knowledge of glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 7. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that this excellency of the power be of God and not of us. Look, you are the light of the world. Turn with me, if you would, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And I told you we're going to use our Bibles a little bit this morning. Matthew chapter 5. I want you to notice this. Matthew chapter 5. Look with me, if you would. Verse number 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So you shine your light by doing what is right. Everybody in this room, we shine our light when we face trouble with joy. We shine our light when we forgive people that don't deserve to be forgiven. We shine our light when we're good to people that don't deserve to be good to. We shine our light when we rise above the world and act like Christ, and the world says, what's different about you? That light shines, and people say in their hearts, whether they ever verbalize it, I'd like to know what it is. Yesterday, my wife and I visited a couple. I'm not going to mention their names because you'll know them. It was in church. An elderly man walked down the aisle at the invitation. He said, Pastor, I need to trust Christ. 77 years old, 76 years old. I need to trust Christ. It's time. Took him back. He trusted Christ as Savior. And his family was ecstatic. His sister had been praying for him for 50 years. The family was rejoicing. And then as all of a sudden, he just sort of became a little different. My wife and I said to his wife, could we go get some coffee? Sure. Went to get coffee, sit down, and said, you know, your husband's different. I know that. Would you like to have the same Christ? I would. And my wife and I shared Christ with her, and she trusted Christ. Because light was shining. Today, everybody in this room that has trusted Christ as Savior, it is important that you shine. It is important that you and I, all of us, clean up our tongue. That we're not critical, mean-spirited. That we try our best to be gracious, loving. Let your speech be always with grace. If we make a mistake, lose our temper, would you forgive me? I'm very sorry. Oh, wow. Not too many people say they're sorry. We try to make every wrong right. If you could picture a flashlight and every sin, I dip my finger in black paint and I put it on there. And I sin again, I put it on there. Pretty soon that whole lens is black. And the light doesn't shine. It's shining in here and the battery's working and stopping right there. That's most Christians. Well, most Christians are not all black. There's a little bit of light shining here, a little bit of light shining there. But they're not willing to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? I want to change those things. The word image is the Greek word icon. How many of you know what this is? Look at this. What is that? A Nike swoosh. How many know what that is? Okay. If I can go like this, and you say, that's Nike. What if I do like this? That's Jesus. And they ought to look at us and say, there's somebody like Jesus. If you look at Acts 16, don't turn there. The Bible says they were first called Christians in Antioch. You know what that meant? Little Christs. They reminded those people in Antioch of Christ. And so they got nicknamed Christians. Or Christs. Today, if somebody clicks on you, is the lens a little blackened? You can come right down here and say, Lord, forgive me. And He'll wipe it away. If you don't know you're on your way to heaven, come get it settled. Are you a hindrance or a help for people to get to heaven? It's our choice today. But boy, I sure would hate to think if that man that came forward and trusted Christ had not changed after he got saved, I'd have never been able to win his wife to Christ. Today, be a light. Let's bow our word prayer. Lord Jesus, you see our hearts today. And Lord, I'm sure there are people here today that would like to be a light. But Lord, maybe they don't know how. They don't read their Bible. They don't pray much. They come to church every so often. And Lord, people see them as a nice person, but not like Christ. Lord Jesus, would you touch our hearts this morning? We have the greatest privilege in the world. We're on our way to heaven with a God that knows our name and loves us and is preparing for us to come. And Lord, help us to realize our purpose on this earth is to be an icon of Jesus Christ. That when people see us, they see Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would cause us to remember that the world's on its way to hell. Because they don't know about heaven. They're following the crowd. They've been taught that which is wrong. And they're busy in this world. Lord, help us to be that light that they need. Help us to share with them how wonderful heaven is. How wonderful you are. Lord, speak to our hearts today. In your name we pray. Amen.